Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I am Maddie Michelson, founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective and IFBB Bikini Pro, functional health practitioner, physique coach, and lover of strong, grounded routines. Today, I'm sitting down with one of my favorite people, Alexa Soter, our head assistant coach and wellness girly through and through. Alexa is an athlete, supplement nerd, an LA local, and together we're going to give you the honest breakdown of what actually goes into being the kind of woman who looks and feels amazing without sacrificing her hormones, sanity, or peace in the process. There's probably a kind of girl that you see online, maybe in your city, maybe in your gym, definitely on our feeds, though, on our Instagram feeds. She's glowing, she's fit, she's sipping greens juice, and somehow her hair always looks clean. I envy those girls. I need to know what kind of dry shampoo they're wearing, but this girlie, she walks 10,000 steps. She strength trains 5 days a week, and she has her life together in a way that makes you wonder if it's all just genetics or filtered nonsense. But the truth is, what looks like effortless hot girl energy is rarely effortless, and it's also rarely toxic, despite what some people think. The women who live in these bodies and these aesthetics, they're not starving, they're not partying every weekend, but they're also definitely not winging it. So, without further ado, here is Alexa.
Hi, friends. I'm so excited to be back because if there's one thing I wish I knew more, I wanted more people to understand, it's that this lifestyle isn't about being perfect. It's about having systems that support you. And honestly, it's way more grounded and nourishing than people expect. And in this podcast, we're going to talk food, movement, nervous system regulation, detox, and all the things to keep us feeling hot inside and out.
Alexa, like your voice, you're so hot, girl. It's like sets the tone so
Do I
perfectly.
exude a hot girl?
You do, you do. So, kind of what inspired this podcast for me in particular was I used to live in Orlando, Florida, in Central Florida, and I remember right before I got ready to move to the Tampa Bay area, I had seen all these girls, like a lot of the it girls on Instagram lived in Tampa, and I would always see them and be like, oh, they're so fake. They're probably doing like all of these things to their bodies. They're not really eating that. And then I got immersed in it. And I started seeing, how these people actually lived. And I guess you could say, like, kind of became them, not calling myself a hot girl, but kind of, I lived this lifestyle. And I realized that it's not this like aesthetic culture of toxic behaviors. I used to approach all this with just a ton of judgment, truthfully. I was convinced that a lot of these girls under eight, I thought they worked out like it was their part-time or full-time job. I thought they partied hard on the weekends, maybe even dabbled in drugs and just like didn't eat food and probably spent more time under a needle than a barbell. But I was really wrong. And there's definitely exceptions to that rule, but again, I was just really surprised by what I saw. Alexa, how did you kind of fall into taking an interest in hot girl habits?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same thing. I grew up in LA, and I think just being surrounded by a culture where it was like these young and thriving girls, and they were always like particularly thin or like fit. And there was like this huge culture around like healthy foods. I mean, the whole like Erewhon thing, like everyone loves Erewhon here. And it was like from an outside perspective, you do kind of get judgmental about it, and you think like, oh my gosh, like they eat Erewhon and they starve themselves and then they go to bar classes and then on the weekends they're at the LA clubs and they're like doing cocaine and all this stuff. But like realistically, they're not doing it. And when you sort of dabble in that culture, like when I started eating at Erewhon or going to these classes in LA, like these popular classes like SoulCycle and all these things, you actually realize that they're living this lifestyle wholeheartedly for the most part. And it's not this like extreme obsessive mentality. It's just like how they're living life and choosing to have an active life and what they do to nourish their bodies. And what did you do to get into this stuff too? These hot girl habits.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it was first once I moved here, Number one, just kind of immersing myself in the lifestyle and witnessing, how the friends that I saw that were honestly beautiful people did and the things that they did to kind of maintain that look and aesthetic. And when I had to kind of take notes or just think about this podcast and, some of the initial shifts that occurred within me as I was kind of just observing as an observer and an outsider looking in, it was first exploring the difference between what we call image-driven choices versus health-forward habits, right? So for our listeners, if you don't know what an image-driven choice is, an image-driven choice are choices that are made for an outcome. And a lot of times these decisions or choices, they're made for validation from an outsider, or from society or our friends or men, and it's very trend following. And usually these are decisions that we make that stem from a desire to control how others see us. So we're trying to look fit, we're trying to look hot or effortless. A lot of times these image-driven decisions, they feel urgent, perhaps obsessive. A lot of times they're rooted in comparison and they truthfully create more stress than they do ease. And what I find is these behaviors are the things that really lead to burnout, right? And that's essentially what I had thought for the longest time people were doing to the hot girls, I guess you could say, just for the context of the case of this podcast episode, the hot girls were doing, right? These are like fasted cardio, skipping meals to stay in a deficit so they can go out, even if they're having like brain fog and unable to get through the day, drinking matcha lattes for the aesthetic, but running on cortisol and poor sleep versus what I found women here actually to be doing, which were health forward habits. And at least the women that were actually maintaining this hot girl look long term, right? And health forward habits are choices that are made for the input, right? They make us feel good. And something for our listeners to pick up on here is when we have health forward habits versus image driven decisions and behaviors, we're able to sustain these things for the long term because they're grounded in self-respect, they're grounded in biofeedback, and they're grounded in internal alignment and not just aesthetics. So these are things that decisions that perhaps support your hormones or they support your nervous system, and they result in a hot look. But it's not because you're chasing it. It's really a lifestyle decision, and these are rooted in not urgency and punishment, but empowerment. So examples of these things are like choosing protein or fiber-rich meals, lifting weights for bone density and metabolic health, doing castor oil packs or the sauna, not for the detox clout, but because your liver needs support. Saying no to events or alcohol, not out of fear, but just because you feel better without it. And then going for hot girl walks because it regulates your circadian rhythm, but not for steps. So that was to answer your question in a very long roundabout way. That was kind of how I got into it. And one of the first things that I did was recognizing, oh my gosh, this is a lifestyle for these girls that are actually able to sustain this like glowing skin, beautiful physique year round. So for our listeners, if you're finding that you're in one of those environments and you're just kind of struggling to figure out what camp you're in, right? Maybe you're like, oh, but I do the matcha latte thing. Sometimes it can be a health forward behavior, but ask yourself, would I still do this if no one knew I was doing it? Is this getting me closer to the way I want to feel? Is it something that I could keep doing for the next 5 years? Am I doing this to be seen or perceived in a certain way? Or am I doing this because I want to? So this is how you can kind of start to figure out what camp you're in, right? Are you in the long game camp or are you in the I'm doing this hot girl aesthetic fake
Yeah.
sort of camp? So that's my 2 cents there.
Yeah, because it's more for like, I think you have to ask yourself if like doing these things, I mean, even if it is doing things like getting a matcha latte or whatever, like, is it for like self-serving purposes? Like, as selfish as it sounds, but like, is it for your genuine enjoyment or like your own goals with health and fitness, or is it for like this outside validation, or just because it's trendy? And I think like separating those two and knowing like why you're doing something is more important, or like just asking yourself, okay, well, do I actually like matcha, or am I just doing it
Well,
because
and
everything?
another example is like Pilates classes. You know, like,
Yeah.
are you going to Pilates because you actually enjoy the Pilates, or are you doing it because it's like a trend? Are you
Yeah.
going for walks every single day because you're just trying to hit a step count? Or are you going for a walk because
You
you
like being outside.
like being outside? Right. So that's kind of just the key, like, primer, I guess you could. For this podcast, there's obviously nothing wrong with wanting to look hot, right? Where it becomes an issue is if you're sacrificing your internal health to get there, or you know, it's if you're doing something that just doesn't feel in alignment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're here to help you differentiate the things today. We're here to help walk you through the very habits that Alexa and I have sort of carved out for ourselves, that we seem to feel are sustainable, and I guess we could call them the hot girl habits. So, number one on our list of things to talk about, listeners, is the fact that hot girls heal before they hustle, right? We're talking about real life mornings, not just what's on our Instagram reel. I personally used to be a phone first girly in the morning. I used to think that I had to like get ahead of the workday, and I used to feel so validated personally by doing that. And now I realize like nothing ruins my mood faster. Such a buzzkill. If like I get on my phone in the first 30 minutes of waking, I feel so out of sorts and just chaotic for the rest of the day. So now my general little rule of thumb for myself, hot girl habit, is no phone before sunlight. No checking DMs, no looking at who posted what and starting the comparison game, no triggering my cortisol before I get out of bed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because then you like. It's weird because I feel like when you're so attached to your phone, you build these like parasocial relationships that aren't even real. And then you feel like obligated to check in on how these people are doing every morning. And it's so stressful and it causes so much anxiety that's unnecessary. And now that you like, don't do that, what's your ideal? Like when you wake up in the morning, what's your ideal like first 10 minutes of the day? Like what does that look like?
Oh, well, you've seen my first 10 minutes, but I guess it's been a little bit different when we were sleeping on an air mattress. But no, I mean, I'm really serious about protecting my first 15 to 30 minutes. No scrolling, no noise. Honestly, I keep the light low in my apartment. I allow my body to just like kind of slowly wake up, grounding actual awareness for how I feel. I kind of do like a quick body scan, check in with my physical body. I usually pick up a book. It's right here, actually.
Hey,
Right
are you
here.
your books?
I am. I'm really into books right now. It's called 101 Essays That'll Change the Way You Think. And I read through one essay every single day. And it just sets my tone for the day.
Yeah. I mean, I've been establishing a better morning routine, and I've never been the type of person to really go to the gym early. I don't like I've tried and it doesn't fit my schedule. But what I have been doing recently, or what I've made a point to do actually since I was in prep is go for a morning walk. I literally wake up and I go for a walk, and luckily, where I am right now during the weeks, I walk to classes in the morning. And then when I'm home on the weekends, I'll wake up and I'll go for a walk with my dog and then come back and eat breakfast. And it's just such a nice, I don't even take my phone. Like I literally just walk, and it's so nice to like reset your mind and kind of ground yourself before like the day starts and everything picks up.
Totally, totally. Yeah, that outdoor time, especially just getting some sunlight, is so good for your nervous system too. Really, really good to tell your body like you're safe, lowering cortisol. I love the idea of doing that. I would totally do that if it wasn't dark when I got up and if there wasn't a ton of homeless people downstairs. I'd wait for the sun to get a little bit brighter. You know, and it's really wild how different your day feels when you've already done something for you before consuming the world.
Yeah.
So, little general rule of thumb is like movement before social media. It doesn't mean that you have to go hit an intense gym session. Oftentimes, just like a walk, foam rolling, light stretching, or even mobility while your coffee's brewing can really help to just prime your day before your brain's hit with stimulations. When I was first getting my functional credentials, one thing that we were researching was electrolytes and all the health benefits of nourishment. And that's something too that we can kind of talk about. Minerals before caffeine is so key. Protein-rich breakfast, obviously digestion support. These are all things that are part of a healthy, morning routine and taking care of yourself first thing. And when you're prioritizing that protein in that first meal and you've got your hydration status up, all of these things work to stabilize your system, particularly blood sugar. And once you have stable blood sugar, you literally never go back. Like, I want to look good, sure, but I also want to have energy at 3 p.m. and I don't want to be craving sugar while I'm trying to get work done. So no more fasted coffee, on an empty stomach. Minerals first. I'm all about adrenal cocktails, sea salt and water, even like trace mineral drops. And starting your day with hydration definitely has a huge impact on just how you feel. And then after I do those minerals, I'll eat my breakfast, protein forward breakfast, make sure I have some fiber in there, something warm to kind of anchor my blood sugar. And then caffeine comes. I actually, as my little general rule of thumb, I'll wait for my first yawn to actually have my first sip of caffeine. And then bonus points for anybody out there who's doing like some warm lemon water or some bitters to really just love on your digestive system too.
That's actually smart to wait for a yawn. I should hop on that and do that.
Yeah, I mean, and if you have some food in your system too, and that's kind of spiked your blood sugar, that's going to give you some energy. So usually I'm able to buy myself like at least an hour before I actually have that first yawn.
Yeah. I actually notice myself feeling a lot better when I like delay my caffeine, because sometimes I don't, just because life happens, but when I do and I'm able to wait like an hour after my food, I feel so much better. And talking about feeling better, I know we wanted to talk how our spaces matter in this sort of instance of being a hot girl.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you remember how much clearer, level-headed you felt when you got your ex's stuff out of there. You booted out.
I do remember. I remember very well. Yeah, I mean, on the
I
topic
remember
of
too. I was there.
you were there. I actually share that story with so many people. I'm like, I was so grateful that she was here to support me through that. But when you are hot girls, as we're on the topic of, they take care of themselves, right? They heal first before they go out into the world. And your space is much like the inside of your body, right? Like you can go out into the world, you can drive your car to work, but at the end of the day, if your place and your home base is an absolute shit show and it's a wreck, like you are also going to be a chaotic wreck. So, when my ex was here and I had his stuff in the apartment and it was so different from my stuff, and it was cluttered and it was messy. I was messy and I was cluttered. Like you totally underestimate how much your space affects you. So for me, yes, a clean home is totally part of my health routine. It's like my nervous system takes a deep breath every time I walk in here. My home literally feels like a spa. It's neutral colors. I have fresh flowers out at all times, not like, dirty water in the vases. There's no dishes on my counter. There's no dishes in my sink. There's a big reason why women who feel regulated keep their homes calm. It's not just vibes, it's literally biology. Things like natural light, cozy but clean vibes, plants, open windows, non-toxic candles, essential oils. Like this totally makes a difference when it comes to regulating. For listeners, you can make this your own. if you want to start putting on, as I tell our athletes, your oxygen mask before you go out into the world, much like you would on a plane, make a first five habits rule. And what this is the five things that you do before you open your app. So water, pee, stretch, minerals, sunlight. Plug your phone in across the room at night and then get a $7 alarm clock. Batch prep a breakfast that you want to wake up to. So something like overnight oats or maybe like turkey sausage muffins, protein pancakes, things like that. Keep magnesium, electrolytes, and bitters on the counter so you actually use them, right? Out of sight, out of mind, but in sight, in mind. Turn off overhead lights in the morning and then just keep a candle or an open window instead. So you're allowing your nervous system to slowly wake up. It's definitely not about being high maintenance or hyper structured, but it's about taking care of yourself before the world starts asking you to take care of everything else.
Yeah. And listeners, before we move on to our next thing, what are the first three things you do every morning? You can ask yourself this, obviously. And do those things move you closer to the woman you want to be or the hot girl you want to be? Or is this aligning with your goals for yourself?
I love that. Because if you asked me when I was really struggling with like comparison, and I would have answered, I get up and I scroll Instagram. And that's the first thing that I start. I mean, it's just as bad as looking in the mirror and being like, you're fat,
Yeah,
right?
no, literally. It's you wake up and you're looking at these girls and you're just envying them and their life and whatever when you, without taking a moment to like realize what you have or like making your space your own or finding pride in yourself and your space. So maybe that could be the journaling prompt for our listeners.
Totally, totally. I love that. Our second topic here for you listeners, we have titled Clean Burn, Not Burnout. So basically, most women are, we find ourselves chasing more, whether that's more cardio, more intensity, being more disciplined. But what I have found is that the women who are actually thriving long term, they're doing less, okay? They're doing less, but they're doing more with just intention. I know that I talk about moving to St. Pete a lot, but I really was so shocked when I first moved here. And I noticed that the girls that I was admiring, they did so much less than what I had initially thought. And I noticed that they weren't spending hours in the gym. Instead, I'd see them in workout classes on ClassPass doing these like 45 to 50 minute workouts with the cool down included in that. We walk everywhere. Like I get easily 12,000 steps a day just walking Alexa knows to UPS every day to return stuff. I'd see a lot of my friends here at Run Club. There's like multiple run clubs here in St. Pete. But if they were doing it, that was their workout for the day. It's not like they were doing that plus classes, plus gym time. Energy management was really a huge focus for these girls over calorie burn. Like, I have so many friends that literally don't have an Apple Watch or don't have an Oura ring. Like, they're not tracking that kind of stuff. They were more focused on loving what they do. Like, the amount of girls that I had encountered when I first moved here and my friends that genuinely love the workouts that they go do because it's a social activity for them and it makes them feel good. And then a lot of the girls here too, like we have a sauna at our complex, and I'll see them in there like dry brushing and stuff. And I was so surprised just to see how many, like, it's such a wellness culture and what that actually looks like. For some of our listeners who are kind of struggling with that, or maybe they're like chronic overexercisers, just to provide a little bit of educational context here, chronic high intensity workouts dysregulate your what we call your HPA axis. That's your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, and it increases your cortisol and it can even impair your thyroid function over time. So when I see these girls that have like flat tummies and the glowing skin and the long hair and they can seem to eat anything, it's not just about doing lower intensity workouts, but that is something that I kind of see across the board. They're doing slower restorative movement. They're doing structured strength training sessions that, are protecting their nervous system. What I personally was in the gym 6, 7 times a week for literally 2 hours and then on a treadmill for an additional 30 to 45 minutes chasing steps. I was also like so freaking puffy. And when I got my cortisol checked, it was literally at 32.
Yeah.
Alexa, have you ever gone through a phase where you felt like you had to do more to stay on track? And what did that lead to? And what changed it for you?
Yeah, actually. So when I first got into this whole bodybuilding thing and I had like this dream of stepping on stage, I felt like I had to be this perfect bodybuilder in order to achieve the physique and mentality that I wanted. And I felt like I was obligated to utilize every second of the day towards this goal and not allow myself like a second to breathe or focus on movements or practices for the sake of relaxation. Like everything was go, go, go. And evidently my cortisol was spiking too. And when I found myself believing that it was necessary to do these like intense workouts or cardio sessions, or like, these processed protein shakes instead of like getting a salad or a juice or something. I became obsessive, and in an unhealthy way, I was found myself starving all the time because my cortisol was horrible, my sleep was horrible, and stress was through the roof. And I just lacked the skills to manage all of that properly because I wasn't implementing these like meditation practices or considering going to classes and just like limiting my movement. And I found myself actually getting further away from my goals by chasing this rush to constantly be doing these things to stay on track. And it can also become like a form of self-punishment and not actually reaching your goals. And I think that's kind of goes hand in hand in why we see these girls who are sort of like, like there's girls who don't really understand the gym like we do, but they still show up and do it. And I think in ways that's a little bit like they're very healthy for that because they're not obsessive. They're just doing movement that genuinely feels good. They don't feel like they need to prove their gym knowledge or whatever to somebody else. And now what would you say your favorite recovery practices are for women like who I, like that were in my position or that are in my previous position? Like, what are some practices they can do that kind of they neglect these sort of things to recover and other stuff like that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love this question. Honestly, the recovery stuff used to be the part that I skipped.
Yeah, me
I
too.
was so good at, checking every training box and even nutrition box and then some. But I was still exhausted. And I was wondering for so long, why I didn't see the results that I expected. So I definitely emphasize recovery, not only as the foundation for myself, but even for the athletes on our team now. Like they have that recovery programmed in as a literal freaking workout.
Oh, I have a day
I'm
dedicated to yoga.
You do. And I want to kind of also just revert back and piggyback off of something that you said, because I right now am, I attend this gym called Sweat and I do a lot of their like high rock style classes. And there's girls in there that I meet that, they do like sometimes like two different classes a day, or they'll do like, runs on top of the classes and all this stuff. And I see that. And then, like, sometimes it's a little bit confusing because you're like, you would expect to look different in the nicest way, And I think that I had that same thing going for me for a while. Like, I was doing so much. It was like the more that I did, and not even necessarily the less that I ate, but definitely the more that I did in terms of movement, the greater I felt, but the worse that I looked in the mirror. And everybody noticed, like, even my mom was like, you just look so puffy. And it's really tough to unwind yourself from that. But there is a reason why it sometimes benefits to like work with a coach. That was kind of what started the process of unraveling all of that for me, was when my coaches literally made it a mandatory thing for me to prioritize the recovery. So to answer your question, some of the most underrated things that I do regularly, like I do infrared sauna sessions, not just for the detox, but to get into that parasympathetic rest and digest state. It's where I breathe deeply. I can decompress. Sometimes I'll even journal in there. There's an infrared, like an infrared light built into one of the tanning beds. And sometimes if I'm just having a high stress day, I will go in the tanning bed just because it like relaxes me.
Oh, I go to the place I go to. There's an infrared. It's just a red light bed, and I go in there every time, and it's so nice.
It's incredible. Magnesium soaks or even foot baths at night. It helps me sleep and it keeps my nervous system in check, especially if I've just had like a mentally a heavy day. Walking, not just for steps, but because it really clears my mental noise. If I'm sitting at my desk and I can't focus or I'm just feeling agitated or anxious, this is something that a lot of the girls have reported back to me recently too, just personally in our 8-week spring cleaning challenge, is we're really emphasizing those walks and breaking up. Obviously, the only way to get all those steps in is to break them up throughout the day. And the feedback that we've gotten from a lot of the women is just like, this is helping my nervous system so much. And it's helping me to stay calm and it's helping me to clear out that mental noise. Totally attest to that. And then honestly, one of my favorite ways to take care of myself is saying no. That's a recovery practice in and of itself. Not overcommitting myself, not forcing social stuff when I just need to be to myself. I think a lot of women underestimate how much emotional overstimulation is like frying our system. So, on that note, listeners, if you are finding this to resonate with you, and it's hitting home, one thing that you can ask yourself is, when I move my body, am I dreading going to do it? Does it feel like I'm moving my body to nourish it, or does it feel like I am punishing my body? Does this feel transactional? Like, if I don't, then X, Y, and Z. If you have an if-then statement, reassess the type of movement that you're doing, and how sort of like passionate you are about it. Track how you feel after your workouts. If you're going into your workouts and then afterwards you feel like a POS, there might be something there. You might need to balance out your energy intake and expenditure, and then build recovery into your week just like a workout, because it is. If I, something that I always say to our clients and our athletes is, if you're doing all the right things and you're still feeling like garbage, it's usually not a training or a macro problem, but instead it's a recovery problem. So, on that note, I do want to touch on another observation and another hot girl habit, and that is nourishment that doesn't just look pretty. There's a reason why we see all these influencers posting those visually aesthetically pleasing meals, right? Simplicity is bliss. I find that the most magnetic women are eating in a way that supports their hormones, digestion, and clarity, not just the aesthetic component of a meal. What looks simple, whether it's like soup nights or slow dinners or homemade meals, it's actually really protective and it's deeply nourishing. Whether this is like, at our apartment complex, this is a very social place. And a lot of the girls here, they'll do like home cooked date nights more often, honestly, than they go out to eat.
Oh,
A lot of the girls will do like, we'll do potlucks all the time. Like for Halloween, we had a potluck and everybody cooked something and then brought it to each other's unit. And we also do watch parties like for Bachelor and things like that. And girls will bring down chopped salads and fruit plates. We watch games, we watch political debates. These girls are prioritizing things like fiber, protein, cooked greens, digestive bitters. That's like the it thing to do. And my Friday night, it's like scratch kitchen and skincare, or I'll do self-care Sundays, but I am not going out and drinking and all the things. It's funny, we have a thing here in St. Pete called First Friday, and every single first Friday of the month, people go out and they like binge drink. It's like a thing here. And it's so funny because all of the local people, the people that actually live here, don't do it. And they talk about that. It was a huge shift for me to choose to like stay in and find other ways to blow off steam, recognizing that my previous coping mechanism for blowing off steam and like rewarding myself for a hard week was drinking or like eating in a way that wasn't in alignment with my goals. And the only way to change patterns and behaviors like that is to have something to replace it. So you can look into, like rituals that support your body, whether it's these kind of seem extra, but I promise they're not. They're actually things that really have shifted and played a role for me. The chlorella post cocktail. This is a simple supplement, chlorella, that actually binds to alcohol-related toxins and heavy metals to support liver as it detoxes. And this is really, really helpful after like social events where you drink, but you don't want to feel wrecked the next day. I also really emphasize magnesium mocktails. So instead of drinking to unwind, these are really great for regulating your nervous system and supporting your digestion and improving sleep quality. I do magnesium glycinate, or sometimes I'll do my drink Magna electrolytes, and I'll add in like some citrus, some fresh squeezed lemons in there, and a little bit of coconut water. And it's literally like my nighttime ritual. It's so good. Bonus points for tart cherry juice. And then I follow an 80% whole food baseline. This helps me stay consistent. Majority of my meals come from single ingredient, nutrient dense sources. And it's kind of like my home base, so that when I do go to have meals out, my body is really, really resilient because I have this really strong foundation of just whole food based meals. And these things make me feel really grounded and honestly energized. Like simplicity really, really, really is bliss.
Yeah, I agree.
For our listeners, you may be saying like, well, when I go out to eat, I still get healthy stuff. I hear that a lot in check-ins. But even if you're going out to eat and you're not ordering unhealthy, the stuff that you get at restaurants, it has more seed oils. It's probably has more histamine exposure because they're not cooking it fresh every single time. There is leftovers at restaurants, and there's a lot of more mystery ingredients. So, when I'm looking over like Dutch tests, for example, of women who suffer from hormonal imbalances or even like toxic liver burden, I usually ask them how often they eat out, and generally it's a lot, plus just a lot of drinking and cocktails. So if you're finding that you're doing those things, add in some cooked greens, add in some bitter foods, or some liver support to support your bile flow, which helps your body digest foods and break down fats, and even detox, especially for women who have like sluggish digestion or estrogen dominance. And on like a note for this topic and some simple meals and nourishing our bodies and the whole hot girl thing, I used to really think like hot girl eating was restrictive eating. Like I was really nervous when I first got girlfriends here in this city and I went out to eat with them because I was like, great, I'm gonna be like the fat girl at the table. Because I thought they would get like salads and no dressing and then be like, I'm full. Because I saw that in college.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you remember when like we were younger and like it was a thing for girls to like, oh, if there were like boys at the lunch tables or whatever, like eat as little as possible, like so they think.
Yes.
Like you can't eat a lot around, but like you can't eat around guys. Like that's a thing because it's like programmed in us to believe that like it's not a hot girl trait to eat food.
Yeah, literally, like I used to see it at the sorority house all the time. They used to make like chicken and sides and casseroles, and then they always had a salad bar, and they would have little mugs for our juice. And the girls would just put the salad bar in the juice. I'm like, is anyone going to actually eat the main meal? So I'd just get it to go and in a to-go container, and I'd bring it back to the library and eat it. I was like, I'm not going to eat this in front of everybody just eating salad. But now, like, I'm that girl now that's in the kitchen with cast iron, and I'm eating organic ground beef that's full fat, and I've got bone broth bubbling and cooking in my rice. Like, it's not flashy, it's not, but it's simple and it's incredible. And honestly, I feel way, way better than I ever have.
I mean, you kind of answered it, but I feel like you can touch on it a little bit more. So since that like transition,
Yeah.
what does your routine with food look like now compared to like what it used to look like? And
Yeah.
what has shifted to become more focused on like your well-being and your internal health rather than like this social pressure, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's ironic, right? Because by focusing on my internal health, like if people tell me all the time, they're like, you look amazing. And I'm not even like putting my body out there to get that validation, but they're right. Like I really feel like I look the best that I've ever looked and I'm not working as hard.
Yeah.
But sure, like that's a great question. When I was really hyper focused on my body composition, my food routine was all about numbers. I was way more focused about like keeping my meals low in fat, eating things that fit the plan, even if they didn't make me feel great. So a lot of my foods were like egg whites. I did some protein bars. I loved the Bear Bells bars at the time. Fat-free cheese was like always in my fridge. And then a ton of zero calorie sweeteners. Like the more zero calorie stuff, the better. Honestly, my digestion was a mess. My skin wasn't great. And I was always bloated. Like I always looked like I was 6 months pregnant. Now, my food is really like a support system. It's not like a scoreboard for me. So I still track when I need structure, but my foundation of my meals is really quality. I cook almost all my meals at home and I build them around three things: protein, fiber, and real healthy fats. I eat liver. I've made liver meatballs. I do bone broth all the time, at least in one of my meals every day. I do a ton of roasted root veggies and a lot more cooked food because I know that that's what my body actually digests best. The biggest shift is now that food feels more like a ritual for me. It's very supportive to my body and I honor my body through my meals. And when I finish a meal, I really feel nourished. I don't feel panicked. I don't feel stuffed. I don't feel still hungry. And like I said, the crazy part here is that I still look the way I want to look, but it's with way more health underneath the surface. Alexa, question for you. Are there any food rituals or ingredients that you swear by now that your younger self, may have like never considered a hot girl food?
Oh my God, yeah. So for like a broad answer, I feel like you can relate to this too. Fats. Just like
Oh, yeah.
the macronutrient fat. When I was going through my own issues with food several years ago, I was afraid of carbs, but I was really afraid of fats.
Yeah.
Right, the name just like sounding scary on its own, which like it does. Fats are really essential for as like a hot girl food, you know, they help our hormones and our menstrual cycles. They help us absorb vitamins. They even help our complexion and skin, and they help our hunger and cravings and our energy levels too. And my previous self, who was super scared of fats, would never consider these foods to be like hot girl-esque. But getting the fatty steak at a restaurant, or even eating eggs and not egg whites,
Oh
and
my gosh.
full fat cheese has not only been like incredibly delicious, but it really helped me get my cycle back too. Fats were a huge thing for me to get my cycle back. And some specific things I do now is a creamy, thanks to you.
Yeah.
But hear me out with this one. So it sounds crazy, but myself, like 2 years ago, I would say no way can ice cream be a hot girl food. But I personally have a major sweet tooth. It's like been my thing forever. Like it's really bad, especially at
Yeah.
night. And before implementing my nightly routine creamy, I suffered so badly with cravings and food noise after dinner, and like knowing, okay, well, I just ate dinner and now I'm done eating for the night, but I want chocolate and I want all these sweets. I never felt satisfied. So implementing that was a huge game changer for me, because like not only can you use like really good ingredients to make a creamy, like mine is literally dates and milk and pistachio butter. Like it's really
Yeah.
like whole ingredients, but it tastes great. It satisfies my sweet tooth. And another thing that I do is, you touched on this too, but my morning gut drink that I actually swear by. So I had gut issues in like November-ish, and I've been doing this ever since. And electrolytes, magnesium, glutamine, and colostrum. It has been game changer for my gut, and it helps me also start my morning off right. Like it helps me get in like a morning routine.
Yeah.
It helped my hormone health as well. So when we sleep, we lose a lot of our electrolytes, obviously, because we're not like drinking water and salt and all that stuff. So when we wake
Sure.
up, starting off with that is actually great. And then obviously glutamine for our gut, colostrum for immunity and digestive support, and then magnesium for anxiety and heart health. And I would have never imagined I would enjoy something like this. Like, in fact, I feel like years ago, if you told me, oh, yeah, drink all this powders, I'd be like, what? This is like scam, you know, like it's those greens drinks, but it's not those greens drinks, I promise. Okay, this one actually has benefits. And then the other thing is butter instead of like
Oh my gosh,
butter. Butter instead of like aerosol spray oils. Like I know that's
butter. Yes.
a source of fats, but
Oh. If
guys,
you want a
move.
flat tummy, like get rid of the aerosols.
Get rid of the aerosols, move to butter. And also, something about butter compared to those aerosol cans is butter, you can actually like measure the amount. Like you can measure it way easier than like a spray.
Yeah.
If you keep spraying it, like it says on the can 0 calories, but it's not. That's like for like I think a 30th of a second or something.
Yeah, how do you freaking measure that?
So how do you measure that? So use butter, guys. It also tastes much better.
It
So
does.
little helps.
I love that you brought up the was it? It wasn't the creamy. It was the drink, your little tonic. I have a tonic too. And I think a
Yeah.
lot of times, like you'll see at the store, especially like Trader Joe's and stuff, all these different juices that you can buy. And like that's what I'm talking about in this specific topic of like simplicity, right? There's four ingredients in your morning drink. I think there's like five in mine. It's like apple cider vinegar, celery juice, aloe vera juice. I do GI Revive and IGGI powder, and the my green, what is it called? The chlorophyll. And that's not like these drinks that have 10 different fruits in them and they're green, but like a crap ton of sugar, and they've been sitting on the shelf for God knows how long. Like your naked greens drink is doing nothing for you.
Oh my
So,
God,
anyways, off of my greens drink soapbox, listeners, we're going to get moving along here, but I do have a takeaway for you on this topic, and that is asking yourself the following questions. Are your meals giving you energy, or are they just low calorie and high volume? And one way that you can assess this for yourself is like, if you're finding that you're eating a fat salad, right? And then you're hungry an hour later, it's because it's all volume food. There's no sustenance to it. Second question for you, what would change if you started treating nourishment as a ritual instead of a task? Like, how would you romanticize the meals that you're eating? And then my final question, your digestion, your skin, your mood, and hormones, they all respond to the quality and frequency of what you eat. So take inventory of the quality of your foods, every single meal, not just your dinner that you're eating with your spouse or your boyfriend, right? But all of them. Are you skipping meals? Are you eating every 3 to 4 hours, right? The hot girls are skipping brunch. The hot girls, they're making bone broth and their hormones are better for it. So closing out that topic for us and moving on to the next, we are going to start talking here about nervous system health. This is the stuff that nobody sees. And this honestly was the hardest part of my own wellness journey because it had nothing to do with food or workouts, right? I didn't know that I was signing up for nervous system regulation when I got coaches, but it really was so important for me to start slowing down. At one point, I had realized, much like I referenced earlier, like I was doing quote unquote everything right physically. I was eating clean, I was training smart, but I was an anxious wreck. I was overstimulated, I wasn't sleeping well. And that's when I started paying attention to my home environment, my phone, my calendar, and I just started decluttering physically and emotionally. And now I protect my peace the same way that I protect my macros. True wellness, I truly believe down in my core, it's regulated. It's not loud. The most grounded women have mastered the art of nervous system care, and they're not overreacting, they're not overstimulated, and they're certainly not overcommitted. They are selective, they're strategic, and honestly, you guys, these girlies are at peace. What this looks like for us is lower screen time, right? A lot less chaos. Clutter, knowing that clutter is also equivalent or yield stress. They've got clean homes. They've got mental clarity. No hormonal birth control, no vaping, and no synthetic anything. And then also Protecting your peace. I use this a lot with my friends that struggle with other friendships, but boundaries, you guys, keep a small circle. Like, you don't need this crazy large social circle. Peace is sexy. Have some deep friendships, have some quality friendships, but you don't need to be friends with everybody and everyone. And spend some time alone. I think that if you're finding that you're the person, and this used to be me, that always needs to be occupied doing something, there's some deeper rooted stuff that we need to kind of explore. For our listeners, things like screen exposure, you might be like, well, I am home all the time, but you're scrolling. If you're constantly scrolling, you're on TikTok all the time, you're an Instagram fiend. I have those friends that, like, I'll send them something on Instagram when I get a free moment and they respond right away. I'm like, are you always on your phone? And these are the same girls that are probably really struggling with sleep because blue light disrupts your melatonin production and are probably also having cortisol issues. Also, physical clutter. If you've got clutter in your environment, there's actually studies that show that physical clutter sends threats to your brain and it creates mental fog and stress responses. And then synthetic hormones. Things like birth control or plastics, they can actually alter your gut bacteria and suppress your natural cycles by creating inflammation. So, again, for me personally, this was like the hardest thing because, again, it had nothing to do with what I was eating. It had nothing to do with how I was moving my body, but I knew that something was off when I was anxious, when I was overstimulated, when I couldn't sleep. And it made such a difference for me to actually start slowing down. At one point for me, I was eating literally 2,500 calories and I was doing no cardio and I was training hard, but my body wasn't responding. So I dropped at that point to 1,500 calories and I added 30 minutes of cardio to see if I could start dropping some body fat. And because I was like, well, I'm not going to build muscle. Let's see if fat loss works for me. Again, body didn't respond. And what I found basically was that the external noise in my environment was starting to bleed into my internal world. Like, no matter what you do, and I tell athletes this all the time. I literally had a check-in with one of my longtime athletes who I love and adore her so much today and every day. But she was ready to enter into a fat loss phase and her check-in was like 90%, like, I'm not sleeping. This is a really stressful week for me. I'm so excited to enter into fat loss. And I was like, let me tell you a little story. And I shared that with her, like how I literally went from 2,500 to 1,500 calories and 0 minutes of cardio to 30 minutes a day. And I was literally gaining weight. Like, your nervous system and protecting your peace is so important. So, Alexa, what are your favorite ways to support your nervous system that have nothing to do with food or supplements?
Yeah, I actually like this question a lot. So the first thing I'm going to touch on, which you kind of did already, but the importance of it is crazy. Like the difference it makes is insane. And it's making your bed when you wake up,
Oh, yes.
make your freaking bed, you guys. Like I'm telling you now, number one, if you're not, what are you doing? We're grown women. And two,
Yes.
if you just get up, like get up, your alarm goes off, get out of bed, make your bed. Number one, you'll be forced to not go back in it. And two, it starts your day off so much better because you're already starting out in a clean space. And going off of that, keeping your spaces clean, keep your car clean. Keep your car clean.
Yes.
I'm telling you, like, arguably, I would say your car is more important than your actual like apartment or house or whatever, because I'm telling you, whenever you're in your car, it's already like a chaotic and stressful environment. When you have like cups and trash that's been in there for weeks, you are taking that stress with you. Clean your car, okay? There was a video I saw and it was like someone was asking Kris Jenner like her number one tips to be successful, and she said, "Keep your car clean." And I was like, you know what? That's actually really true because it does help your nervous system, and it helps with regulating stress more than you think. And this isn't even related to fitness or food or anything. Now, over my little rant there, my second thing is walking. Walking, and not on a treadmill, outdoors. Even just 10 minutes helps so much for movement purposes and regulating our nervous system. And bonus points if you go for a walk after you're done eating. Bonus points for that. It's going to help your digestion so much.
Totally,
My
totally.
next
Digestion
thing,
rocks, hot girl walks.
walks. And my next thing is red light therapy. And I thought for a while there, I was one of those people that was like, red light therapy is like scammy. Like, there's no way there's actually benefits to this. But I'm
Oh
not,
no, it's the best.
it's the best. I have a membership at my tanning place and they have just like a bed and I go there and I just sit in it for 20 minutes and it like vibrates and there's like spa music and it's just so relaxing. And then when I'm not there, I also have like, I got one of those face mask, red light masks from Shark, and it is so good. I highly recommend. You can literally wear it on your face and do chores around the house. So good. Really helps you like ground yourself and, regulate your nervous system. And then another thing, which I've always been like an avid reader, but I was always like reading just in between the days, in between like the day when I had free time and not necessarily like at night, but reading before bed. It is not only is it just like a generally good habit to have, but reading before bed helps our circadian rhythm so much since like blue light from our phones or TVs really throws off our body's mechanics in signaling us to go to sleep. And I'm also like, I read fantasy books. That's like my thing. And let me tell you guys, like, it is just, it's so good. It's so good. Just grab a book and read before bed. And then when you fall asleep, you'll be like transported into like this fairy world that you're reading about. And then another thing is writing a to-do list every morning of my tasks for the day. Okay, it sounds
Oh my gosh, that literally like turns me on. I'm such a scratch it off
like
girl.
I'm like a handwritten pen to paper write a list.
Yeah.
It helps set me up for success, but it also prevents that constant like inner dialogue where you're questioning like what's next or what you have to do next or how you're going to manage your time. Like just planning ahead helps so much and it helps keep your nervous system regulated because then you're not like freaking out at 3 p.m. like, oh my God, I had to do all these things. And like for me, I'm in school, so I have like assignments and all this stuff. And I would be like freaking out if I didn't write it down because it'd be like 7 p.m. and I'm like, oh my God, I have a paper due at 11:59. Like, oh, I wish I like remembered that so I could have done it earlier when I had free time. So just get a little to-do list or like a notebook or something and write your tasks for the day. And it'll already help so much.
Totally. I also want to tell our listeners about the red light therapy book lamp that I have because I know you just talked about red light. You also talked about reading. Well, kill two birds with one stone, red light therapy book lamp. It makes such a difference. It's freaking awesome. But listeners, if you are at this point in the podcast and you're wondering, how do I assess if my environment is nervous system regulating or not? Well, one simple question that you can ask yourself is, what does my environment signal to my body? Like, look around as you're listening to this episode right now. If you're in your home or as soon as you get back to your home, how do you feel? Do you feel chaos or do you feel calm? And then I challenge you this week, because your space is a reflection of your nervous system, I challenge you to clean your space. I challenge you to curate your space, and I challenge you to calm your space. Try just having no screens for one evening this week. Just no screens in the evening. That's it. Try doing something else just for one evening and just see how differently you feel, not only that night and but also the next morning. Last and certainly not least, we're going to close on a high note tonight. And that is something that has been game changing for me and probably the very basis for this entire episode. The reason why I have so much to talk about on this, on hot girl and on hot girl habits and like the wellness habits behind the aesthetic. And that is the friends that I've cultivated in this space. Your circle. It's either helping you to heal, ladies, or it's keeping you stuck. I would say the most underrated biohack is choosing people who are living the way that you want to live. Either, for me, it was girls that invited me to workout classes and not the bar on Friday nights. It was group chats where girls were literally talking, sending like their Amazon link to their favorite castor oil packs, or recipes. I had a friend that literally sent me a recipe for this liver meatloaf that she was making. And I was like, heck yeah, like this is my type of friendship. You mirror the habits of the people around you. So it's really important that you're choosing those friendships wisely. When I first moved to St. Pete, I didn't know anybody. The culture here, it's very social, it's very beachy, it's very bar heavy. There are a lot of drinking, there is a lot of late nights, and that's kind of what I knew about the culture. And at first, I felt very pressured to say yes to every invite, but I started to feel very disconnected with the woman that I wanted to be and the environments that I was putting myself in because I thought that that was the only social circle for me. So I started asking my friends casually but intentionally if they ever want to go to a workout class or if they wanted to do like a walk in coffee or something like that. And to my surprise, a lot of them said yes. The thing is, a lot of these girls were craving it too, but no one had taken the lead. I also had to go out of my way at the same time to meet women who were already living this lifestyle because you can't always be the one that's kind of like dragging the pack. So I started showing up to community workouts, different cafes around St. Pete, and even events that had nothing to do with alcohol. There's a thing here called Cold Tub Coffee Club, and it's like every Sunday, and it's cold plunging and coffees, and it's super, super fun. And that's where I found my girls, women who talked about cycle syncing and women who talked about gut health. And they weren't just about gossiping, which is also just so toxic, or happy hours on the weeks or during the week. And it took a lot of effort. It took intentionality and it took me not giving up, but I found them. And I realized how deeply a supportive-minded community, or a supportive health-minded community can really be for, making me feel supported and honestly, like I could sustain, this lifestyle. It was huge. It was huge.
Yeah, I agree because I had a similar situation too. I mean, I feel like we all at one point like transition into this person we want to be, and it does take some effort there in terms of like the people you surround yourself with. And when you moved or when you started like cultivating this new community, what sort of shifted it from like this supportive wellness type of lifestyle instead of like this sabotage, live this life not really for yourself and like the people you're around. Like, what was that shift like, or how did that happen?
Yeah, so I think, for one, like I had kind of discussed it. It was about not only being the leader of the pack and being brave enough to like ask my friends who were at the bars, like, hey, would you want to go to a workout class with me? I had also told my friend, like, you don't need to always respond to someone's invite for everything with a yes, right? Like when my girlfriend started saying, like, hey, would you go to the bar with me on Friday night, like for a happy hour? What I realized they really wanted was just like a connection. And so I would say, you know what, I can't do that, but, and I would come back with at it with like a, but how's Tuesday? Would you want to go to a yoga class? And then again, I had to put myself in the environments to also meet other girls and cultivate other friendships. And when I started surrounding myself with women who lived in alignment with their health goals, it honestly gave me permission to do the same. And there was so much less peer pressure. And instead, there was more of like what I call peer support. The biggest shift for me, though, was internal. I didn't feel like I had to explain myself all the time. I wasn't that weird one that was like skipping shots or leaving the bars early to go home. Suddenly, my habits didn't feel like an uphill battle for me either. Like I didn't resent living a lifestyle that actually felt good. They were just my normal. And our, like I said, our group chats became a place for support in this way. And I think the most powerful part of this whole shift for me was the emotional regulation that came from it. I didn't realize how much social chaos was draining me until I found peace in those more aligned friendships. And you'll find that, if you do choose to seek out those friendships, that you're going to heal faster when you're not constantly defending your lifestyle. And you hold your standards higher when you're surrounded by women who live like the woman that you want to become. Alexa, can you speak on, if you've ever had to navigate shifting social circles or boundaries to protect your health?
Yeah, I actually have. And I think for a while before I got into this lifestyle, I mean, granted, this was like in high school, but I was stuck in this partying, drinking, staying out late, ordering takeout kind of like living life. That was how I was living life at that point. And I didn't know anything about like general health or bodybuilding, but I did know I wanted to become healthier and I wanted to change my lifestyle. I just didn't really know how. But when I did begin to prioritize my health and I was like looking on the internet and seeing like, okay, well, there's these places to eat or I want to start going to these classes. Oh, there's like a cycle place near my house. I realized a lot of the people I was surrounded with no longer aligned with where I was going or wanted to go. You know, like my friends, they always wanted to go out on the weekends and go to the clubs in LA. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I was that person who was starting to say no to things, and my friends
Totally.
dramatically changed. And it's a really tough adjustment, but when you change your lifestyle, a lot of the times you end up befriending people that have the same values as you. Like going to run clubs and gyms and classes or cafes and doing bodybuilding shows or all these things, when you start immersing yourself into this new lifestyle, friends kind of like come to you. You know, there's so many
Yeah.
to connect with people no matter which path you are choosing to go down. So don't be afraid of the change, especially if the previous circumstances weren't serving you. So, like, don't stay in that partying, staying out late lifestyle just because of comfort and because you're scared, like, oh, if I start going to the gym or if I start saying no to going out on the weekends, like, I'm gonna lose my friends. Instead, maybe position yourself or your mind in the way that it's like, okay, well, if I go out and maybe I go to like a core power yoga class at 7 p.m. on a Friday, like I'll make a friend that way. Like if you start shifting your mindset to that, so many
Yeah.
doors will open for you in terms of like building relationships. And a lot of the times people will question you or disagree with you. I know like for a while there was friends that were like, why? Like, why do you have to stay in? Like, that's so boring. Or, you know, like they kind of express some form of like disappointment and they're like, oh, like you no longer want to have fun with us. Like you're boring or, you know, they're just saying that because you no longer serve them. But you have
Yeah.
to realize this is part of your journey and it's a step of healing to even recognize that you are choosing the best thing for yourself and not for others.
Yeah, and I think too something to kind of touch on, like I did for a while continue, like when I was going through that same shift, like going out and kind of thinking to myself, like, yeah, but there's got to be some people here that are like doing the lifestyle that I ultimately want for myself. And the reality is, like, they're not. Like, I have friends where I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go to a class tomorrow morning, and it'll be like on a Saturday morning at like 9 a.m. And my friends are like, ooh, yeah, no, not gonna do that. Like, they aren't the girls that are going out on Friday night until 2, 3 in the morning. Like, it's just it, that's not you can't have the best of both worlds. And the answer, the reality is, it's not really the best of both worlds. There's one better world than the other. So for our listeners, audit your social circles, ask yourself, who is energizing me versus who is draining me? And then start the invite. Recognize that people are oftentimes waiting for someone else to just go first. Healing becomes so much easier when you're not doing it alone. I have a client that was like, it felt very much like pulling teeth. I was like, come on, girl, you got this. Like every single week, it was so challenging to kind of get her to, move the needle just a little bit. Just get, at first we tried the gym. She didn't like the gym. So we programmed at home workouts, and then it was difficult to get her to do those. And the other week, I was so proud of her because she said, how would you feel about if I just went to a Pilates class? I said, let's freaking do it, dude. I reprogrammed all of her training. She's been at Pilates classes. She texted me. She said, I left Pilates class, and as soon as I left, I felt so energized, I actually wanted to get to the gym. She's like, could I do both? I know you're probably going to say no, but could I do both in one day? And then she said, I went to Pilates class with these women and they actually invited me for a walk under the stars, right? Your environment matters so much. Again, healing is so easy and thriving is so easy when you're not doing it alone. Acting in alignment with what you want, it can be possible and it's so much easier to do, especially if it mandates change on your end when you're doing it with other people. But wrapping up here, we've been chatting for a while. My throat is burning. I do want our listeners to, recognize here that this whole talk, I know it's kind of silly talking about like hot girl trends, but it is something I'm really passionate about. And I think the kind of the key takeaway is that it really isn't about the aesthetic. It's not about the fact that you're, trying to be this quote unquote hot girl. The aesthetic in and of itself, it's just a byproduct of feeling amazing. But these hot girls, they're moving with ease. They're sleeping well. They have regular digestion, I can tell you that much. And they have peace, peace in their heart and peace in their mind. They really are not chasing validation. That's not where any of their behaviors are really rooted in. And instead, a lot of the behaviors of the hot girls, they are rooted in rituals. They are rooted in what makes them feel intrinsically well. All right. These girls are not forcing anything. They're not hustling for a look. They're not bending over backwards to stay lean. They're not skipping meals or overscheduling themselves. Certainly not living off caffeine. But the hot girl aesthetic instead comes from an internal drive to create a sort of like asynchronous relationship with your body, to trust your body. These hot girls, they're walking outside in the morning, not to burn calories, but because they love how it clears their minds. Hot girls are lifting weights because lifting weights mean that we're strong. It means that we're focused, not because we're trying to earn our next meal or our, tapas at the bar. Hot girls are eating nourishing meals. We're getting sunlight on our skin, as Alexis sunburnt here on the other line. Hot girls are prioritizing sleep, and hot girls have homes that make them feel at peace, right? The glow of a hot girl, it's not a filter. Instead, it's the result of consistent and self-honoring choices. And because these hot girls are actually not depleted, they are radiating, and that's what makes them hot girls.
So a question to, I guess, close off this podcast is for you. What do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about the kind of women who look and feel this good? And I know we touched on it kind of in the beginning, but there really is a serious stigma around these like hot girls and like what they're doing, and is what's true and what's not. Give us the quick little rundown here.
I mean, first of all, when I think of hot girl, I think of like the Alo yoga models, like the girls that walk around wearing Alo yoga. Like that is ultimate hot girl. And like, I think people think that they're obsessed. I think people think that they're spending all day in the gym or they're like tracking every crumb of food or they're starving. But most of the time, like I just said, the hot girls are the calmest. They're consistent with what they do. They're in the classes every single week, but that's like all that they do. They're not compulsive about crap. They're not trying to prove everything, but they know what already makes them feel good. And they're very grounded. They're very intentional about their decisions. And it's simple. So, listeners, if you're asking yourself kind of just like a closing question here, and you're interested in taking the next step to becoming that girl yourself, ask yourself, what if your goal wasn't just to look good? I know we all want to look good, but what if it wasn't just to look good and instead it was to feel incredible in your body every single day? What would it look like to simplify your habits so that they actually support your energy, your mood, and your digestion? If you want to look like that, live like this. Simple, whole, unhurried, and intentional. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us today and diving into what hot girl wellness really means. Not the filtered, burnout heavy version we've all been fed, but the grounded, supportive, life-giving version that actually feels good. We hope you're living with a little bit more clarity, confidence, and inspiration to prioritize the version of you who's strong, self-led, and nourished from the inside out. The goal here was never to push perfection, just to help you realize that vitality and aesthetic don't have to be at odds. You really can have both when you lead from alignment. If this episode hit home for you, we'd love if you would leave it a rating, share it with a friend, or tag us on Instagram and tell us your favorite takeaway. You can also head to our bios on Instagram, or you can jump down to the description to apply for one-on-one coaching with either Alexa or myself. Whether you're ready for a deep health reset or a true transformation, we have got your back. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode that keeps it honest, health forward, and deeply human. Until then, be kind to one another and don't forget to leave yourself out of the mix. And remember, the hottest thing that you can be is well. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.